Testimonium Christi confirmatum est in vobis, ita ut nihil vobis desit in ulla gratia. The witness of Christ has been made so firm in you that you lack no grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, this Sunday the Gospel is the same as the one from the Tuesday of the second week of Lent. It is the Gospel of the healing of the paralytic man brought before our Lord by his friends. St. Matthew lays out the facts for us. The paralytic is brought by his friends before our Lord, who forgives him his sins because of their faith. The scribes accuse our Lord of blasphemy in their thoughts. Our Lord, knowing this, tells them that he is the very incarnation of God. He is God made flesh. As proof of this, he gives a sign that he has forgiven the paralytic's sins by healing him so that he gets up and walks. The fathers of the church tell us that the paralytic man is humanity, sick because of its sins. He is brought to our Lord in the sacraments in order to receive his pardon and be healed. Today's epistle tells us what response we are to have to this great liberality of God in his generosity. In his epistle to the Corinthians, for all the blessings received and to be received, St. Paul gives thanks to God. Thanksgiving is the essential form of liturgical prayer because it testifies that God is the fullness and source of all good. Among these blessings, he mentions in the first place the various graces that were received. In the early hours, in the early years of the church, particularly in Corinth, the faithful received many graces from God, both interior ones and gifts of the Holy Spirit, for the purposes of their sanctification and their edification. Dear faithful, this is true of us as well. Despite the daily news from near and far, where there are many things that are not right with our world and unfortunately in the church, God does not stop showering us with his graces. Despite the situation in the world, not to mention the church, we can honestly say that we lack nothing to find our way to our homeland. The beginning of our spiritual lives is the sacrament of baptism, wherein we receive the graces and virtues we need to begin our path to heaven. We are nourished by the sacrament of Holy Communion and strengthened by confirmation. For our roles in the church, we have the sacraments of matrimony and holy orders. When we are ill because of our sins, we have the sacrament of confession. When we approach the end of our lives, we receive the sacrament of extreme unction. At no point in our lives does our Lord leave us alone. St. Augustine tells us that God abandons no one unless he is abandoned. He is faithful to us until the end of our lives. By the gift of his grace, God gives himself to us so that we may become like him. His grace elevates us in our lives in all we do. He gives us his grace to help us in doing his will, and when we are unable to, he also gives us graces to cooperate with them. Our Lord himself has said that without him, we are incapable of doing anything. Sine me, nihil potestis facere. In order to do the supernatural acts that allow us to merit heaven, we need these graces from God. The act of faith, which is the first of such supernatural acts that we can do, is impossible without the help of grace. His grace comes before our acts, his grace accompanies our acts, his grace perfects our acts. His graces make us holy. What should be our response to this manifold generosity of God? The best response would be to return to God a gift of ourselves, to consecrate ourselves and all we do to him, to give glory to his name. In doing all this, we will become pleasing to God. The highest gift we can give to another is the gift of ourselves. Giving ourselves in this way epitomizes the virtue of generosity. The perfect example of generosity, of course, is God the Creator. It was entirely by His generosity that He created man in His image. His gift of Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, represents this ultimate form of generosity and serves as a model for all human generosity. Because God created us in His image, a dynamic impulse towards generosity is implanted in the depths of our being. As a consequence, to live authentically means to give generously. Our personality is almost synonymous with generosity. To live authentically is to give generously of oneself. So deeply rooted is generosity in our nature that we must give ourselves to a common good, the good of a family, the good of a society, the good of a community, so that we can be truly and fully human. To the calculating mind, being generous seems costly. But to the generous heart, being greedy is incomprehensible. There is a superabundance within each one of us. Not to release it will cost us who we are. Nothing, therefore, is more costly than greed, and nothing is more rewarding than generosity, not just to each other here on earth, but above all, to God. In gratitude, we are human. In generosity, we are divine, because we imitate God. Our Lord Himself says in the Gospel of St. Matthew, "You receive without pay, give without pay." St. Paul assures us that God will be faithful to us until the end. God crowns the gift of all His graces with the grace of final perseverance and firmness in the good. Here in church, at the Mass, over and above all His gifts to us, He gives us Himself. By His sacramental presence in the tabernacle, His real presence before us, we have no reason to envy the apostles. He is as present to us today as He was to them back then. Take note from the Gospel, dear faithful, that when we come to God twisted up because of our sins, but with a humble and contrite heart, He Himself will take up the fight against our accuser, our enemy, the devil himself. Oftentimes, the reason we are unable to rise up using the graces of God is our lack of faith that He, in fact, has given us graces. This is the time to remember the words of our Lord and Savior. "Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven you." The reason He went on to work a miracle of healing the paralytic man was for the Pharisees. They who knew from their study of the law and the prophets that God first heals the soul by forgiving sins and then the body, would not accept that Jesus could forgive sins, even though He had worked many signs before their eyes, proving that He is the Son of God. Therefore, in today's Gospel, we have the first time that our Lord goes on to attack them where it hurts them the most, in their hypocrisy. As St. Paul points out, our fight is against the powers and principalities of darkness. We are called to stay close to Christ our King, who will give us the final victory. The moments of divine providence in our life, between our vocation, our justification, and our glorification, are subtle and interlinked. He Himself will make sure that we can appear without reproach before our Lord, who judges the living and the dead, when He comes again. For this reason, we pray in the collect, "May the working of Your mercy, we beseech You, O Lord, guide our hearts, for without You, we cannot please You." We have no better example of a generous response to God than Our Lady. St. Alphonsus Liguori tells us that knowing the will of God for our salvation Our Lady would have nailed her own son to the cross if the soldiers failed to do so. She accompanied our Lord all through his life, physically and spiritually. Now present with him in heaven, she intercedes for us and wins for us graces as we need them. As she was generous in the gift of herself while on earth, God honors her by his generosity through her. O Mary, Mother of the Church, mediatrix of all graces, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.